studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for noise, news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, softening everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. All takes place. We've got to stop this inhuman race.
Welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and people who have the detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, email, fax, and web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in a dragon at the road blockade. If you do have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep that pencil and paper handy and listen up for the contact information later on in the show. And as always, we're going to get started with announcements. And the first announcement tonight is that we want to welcome all the listeners to Franklin's Tower Web World News and Information. And Franklin's Tower Web Radio is currently carrying the Earth First Radio archive shows. You can find Franklin's Tower Web Radio at www.unbrokenchain.net/Franklin's Tower, all one word. And we welcome those listeners on the web. First announcement is the MLML student body and friends of MLML. Not sure what that is. I guess it's the Moss Landing Marine Laboratory. And Moss Landing Marine Laboratory is near the city of Moss Landing in California, which is just north of Monterey. Dr. Samuel H. Gruber of the University of Miami, Florida, is going to be giving a talk on Wednesday, September 6th at noon on sharks, fragile and misunderstood. Will they survive into the 21st century? And this seminar, once again, is Wednesday, September 6th at 12 noon at the Moss Landing Marine Lab, 8272 Moss Landing Road in Moss Landing, like I said, just north of Monterey and just south of Santa Cruz in California. And the community seminars are free and open to the public. So if you'd like to attend that, please do so. And I want to stick that in the local announcements here so we can put that locally. If you're in the Seattle, Washington area, this Sunday, September 3rd, you can hear the Casey Neal Trio at the Bumper Shoot Festival, and they'll be on the Northwest stage about 1:30 on Sunday, September 3rd. For more information, try www.bumpershoot.com. A week from Friday, September 8th and September 9th, I guess that's a Friday-Saturday show, Casey will be in Sisters, Oregon at the Sisters Folk Festival. He'll be doing afternoon sets and the Saturday evening show with Carter and Grammer and Guy Clark. Also Linda and Robin Williams, Misty River, and John McEwen. Sounds like a great show up there in Sisters, Oregon. And then Friday, September 15th in Eugene, Oregon, Casey Neal will be at the Eugene Celebration at the Broadway Stage. It's a Celtic show with the Paperboys and Mary Jane Lamond. And the following day, Saturday, September 16th, 2 p.m.-ish, Casey will be in North Plains, Oregon at the KBOO Festival Pickathon. And that's a benefit for KBOO, and it will be at Horning's Hideout. I guess that's Highway 26, about 20 minutes west of Portland on September 16th. And then I guess that evening he'll be in Seattle, Washington at Connor Burns' Old Ballard. Well, I guess that's Old Ballard's the part of town. I guess that's an evening show. So check out Casey over the next few weeks. Great musician, great Celtic music, and a great activist. If you're in the Portland, Oregon area and you want to join BARC for their monthly group hike, the next group hike will be Sunday, September 10th. They'll meet at 9:30 at the Daily Grind, Southeast Hawthorne at 40th in Portland. Note that they're meeting a little later. I believe they used to meet at 9. It's now 9:30. This month's hike will be to the Zan Timber Sale on the Clackamas District of the Mount Hood National Forest. Zan is located in the East Fork of the Kalawash River watershed, Township 8 South, Range 7 East, Sections 3, 4, 9, and 10. If you look at the map and look to the east of Bull of the Woods Wilderness, you'll see the Sugar Pine Botanical Area. The sale is right by there. After looking at Zan, we'll take a stroll through Big Bottom, which is some of the nicest old-growth trees on the Clackamas reside. If you'd like more information, contact BARC at 503-331-0374. That's BARC, 503-331-0374. And once again, that group hike, Sunday, September 10th, 9:30 in the morning at the Daily Grind, Southeast Hawthorne at 40th. Sounds like a great day in the woods. Also coming up Sunday, September 10th from noon to 9 p.m. at Laurelhurst Park in Portland, Oregon is Cascadia Forest Alliance's 5th annual Resist Dance. Music and fun in the sun bring the entire family. Timothy Hull, Pagan Jug Band, Nicole Campbell, Land of the Blind, Michael Hagmire, I guess, and Trey Arrow come out and support your local tree sitters and their effort to protect your watershed. Games for children and adults. More information, 503-241-4879. That's 503-241-4879. Or check out their webpage at www.cascadiaforestalliance.org. The Resist Dance, Sunday, September 10th, noon to 9 p.m. at Laurelhurst Park in Portland, Oregon. Coming up is the Wild Rockies Rendezvous, the 15th annual Wild Rockies Rendezvous, September 14th through the 16th at the Missoula Children's Theater on the corner of Adams and East Broadway in downtown Missoula. Dave Foreman, founder of Earth First and chairman of the Wildlands Project, presents the Rendezvous keynote address on Thursday, September 14th at 7:15 p.m. The three-day event features panel discussions, workshops, live music, and dancing. Wild Rockies Rendezvous began in 1985 to promote wilderness-based ecosystem protection in the Northern Rockies. For schedule information, please visit www.wildrockiesalliance.org. And, of course, you can always give them a jingle, 406-721-5420. Once again, that's 406-721-5420. And give that number a call for travel and room accommodations, or you could try email to bc@wildrockiesalliance.org. That's bc@wildrockiesalliance.org. And once again, that's the Wild Rockies Rendezvous, September 14th through 16th at the Missoula Children's Center in downtown Missoula. The 14th Annual Forest Reform Rally, September 15th through 17th, hosted by the Forest Reform Network, American Lands Alliance, and Texas Committee on Natural Resources. The 2000 Forest Reform Rally will be at the Chano Lakes Conference Center at the Sam Houston National Forest. I suppose that's somewhere near Austin, Texas. Your chance to see lovely southern mixed forests and do all the things that you do at the annual Forest Reform Rally. If you'd like more information, contact the Texas Committee on Natural Resources, 1301 South Interstate Highway 35, Suite 301, Austin, Texas, 78741. Once again, Texas Committee on Natural Resources, 1301 South Interstate Highway 35, Suite 301, Austin, Texas, 78741. Or you can give them a call, 512-441-1122. That's 512-441-1122. And, of course, email to tconr@mindspring.com. That's tconr@mindspring.com. The annual Forest Reform Rally, September 15th through 17th at the Chano Lakes Conference Center near the Sam Houston National Forest in Texas.
Healing Self, Healing Earth, Experiencing Our Deepening Our Shamanic Roots, September 15th through 17th at the Sequatchie Valley Institute at Moonshadow. I believe that's in Tennessee. It's going to be a great weekend. It looks like they have a couple of great facilitators. It's a little expensive, but it is sliding scale, and some scholarships will be available. And the entrance includes food, camping, and a workshop fee. Contact Ashley at the Sequatchie Valley Institute at Moonshadow. Her number? 423-949-5922. That's 423-949-5922. Ask for Ashley. Or you can email mediarights@bledsoe.net. That's mediarights, all one word, at bledsoe.net. Space is limited. Register early. All profits to support environmental action projects. Once again, September 15th through 17th, the Healing Self, Healing Earth, Deep Ecology, Shamanic Roots Workshop. And looking for a class for credit in college on environmental action? It's a class offered this fall at Merritt College in Oakland and the New College of San Francisco. Explore the theory and practice of the tactics and strategies of environmental activism. They're going to have speakers, practical skills, training, press release production, demonstration organizing, testifying before public agencies, guerrilla theater, grassroots organizing, litigation, lobbying, direct action, civil disobedience, and boycotts. Two seasoned environmental social justice activists, Karen Pickett and Phil Klasky, are teaching this nuts and bolts approach class. Once again, Merritt College in Oakland and New College in San Francisco. It all starts mid-September, Merritt College, Monday evenings and Saturday field sessions. The New College of San Francisco, Wednesday sessions and Saturday field sessions. Let's see, a contact number for Merritt College in Oakland is 510-436-2655. That's 510-436-2655. And for the New College of San Francisco, their phone number, 415-437-3458. That's 415-437-3458. Sounds like a good class. I'm sure you'll get a lot out of that. Looking for a job? The Student Environmental Action Coalition has a job for you. It's an immediate opening with the Student Environmental Action Coalition. You're going to be doing all kinds of speakers, bureaus, coordination. That's what they got. Speakers, bureau, coordination is the job. Set up a speakers bureau. Promote it. Got to know everything. Got to do everything. Applicants should be familiar with the Student Environmental Action Coalition and be able to work for little pay. There's a stipend to cover room and board plus some spending money. They say use the attached application, but you can get one by sending email to ncc@seac.org. That's ncc@seac.org. Or you could call them at 215-222-4711. If you have any questions, that's 215-222-4711. And the deadline for your applications is September 18th, and they will notify you after phone interviews by September 22nd. So get on it. I believe the job... Where's the job located? Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Let's go to Indiana. It's not good news at the Kent Creek area there. For those of you who know, there's a blind veteran trying to protect a little forest and some wetlands there. And here's the news from Kent Creek. The Kent Creek massacre has started. It is so terrible you couldn't even imagine. An army came out this morning at 6:30 a.m., it was comprised of Rockford Blacktop County surveyors and destruction workers and about a dozen cops with a paddy wagon. No one was there except for Tom and Jan. They woke them up to tell them they were about to start destruction, and within 5 minutes they had pushed down Emma, the 200-year-old white oak. They bulldozed her over and didn't even leave a stump. Only some of her not ripe acorns and twigs and leaves are left. It's so horrible out there. They have so much already bulldozed in one day. They had an orange fence up with signs every 2 feet that say no trespassing, and Chris Kahn ordered it to be a felony charge for trespassing. They have the murder machine parked across the road from the Ditzler's house, and they have a cop guarding it all night and a generator with huge lights illuminating the beast. So now the Ditzler's can't look out their front or backyard without seeing this cat. I am filled with such impotent rage. I dropped to my knees when I saw it. Emma is laying in a heap out by the creek. That's the oak tree. They used one of her dismembered arms to be a bridge across the creek. They are going to begin straightening out the creek right away, too. They say the creek is in their right of way. My heart is so heavy I can't talk about it anymore right now. Message sent by Jesse. If you want to go down to Rockford, Indiana, I believe it is, and find out about the Kent Creek occupation, give them an email at season5@inwave.com. That's season5@inwave.com. If you want, you can call Jesse at 815-332-7044. That's 815-332-7044. And, of course, the Kent Creek occupation website at kentcreek.cjb.net. There's no triple W in this one, folks. It's just Kent Creek, KENTCREEK, at CJB.net. And unfortunately, sounds like Kent Creek is pretty much a goner. Let's go to Florida. Five environmentalists formed a human chain with bicycle locks clamped around their necks, staging a six-hour sit-in outside the Governor Jeb Bush's Capitol office in Florida to protest state approval of a cement manufacturing plant near the pristine Chickahominy River in northern Florida. The protest ended peacefully mid-afternoon when an ombudsman from the State Department of Environmental Protection agreed to meet with the demonstrators, who identified themselves as members of the Itchituckney Earth First. "We're working to raise consciousness," said one of the activists, who would only give her name as Nadine. "This fight is not over, and the facts are undeniable. The cement plant will destroy the river." The state in June of 1999 denied paving company Anderson Columbia's a permit to build a cement plant along the river, citing the company's poor environmental record. But state officials reversed themselves in June after reaching an agreement with the company, which includes monitoring plant emissions, with the results posted on the Internet. The about-face prompted protesters to dub Bush, who canoed the river in 1999 and said he wouldn't allow the plant because of a threat to mercury contamination to the river, Jeb-o-chio. After sort of Pinocchio. They asked for a statewide referendum to determine whether the tire and coal-burning plant should be allowed to operate. A company spokesman disputed the plant would pollute, saying, quote, "All the questions that involve science and engineering have been answered. So now we've got the hype and hysteria," said Jim McClellan, who handed reporters a press release touting Anderson Columbia's $1 donation to a river preservation fund. And the Department of Environmental Protection Secretary Dave Strews vowed the plant would not pollute the river. "We're going to watch it like a hawk," Strews said. If you want more information about the Itchituckney River and you need to get in touch with Itchituckney Earth First, try their webpage at itchituckney.org. That's www.ichetuckne. That's ichetuckne, itchituckney.org. That's Gainesville Earth First and Itchituckney Earth First out there in Florida. Here's a kind of an interesting story from India. Eco-friendly bandit foxes police in Indian jungles. Lucknow, India. India has been transfixed for weeks by a ruthless outlaw who is making news by protecting the environment. Shiv Kumar, a local Robin Hood, popularly known as Dadua, or Big Brother, who has eluded police for decades in the northern forests of Uttar Pradesh, takes on illegal tree fellers and has even gunned down a poacher for killing black bucks. The bandit's acts have created so much terror among the forest mafia and conniving forest officials that illicit felling and poaching have virtually come to a halt in this region, a forest official said. Padua is no paragon of virtue. Police records show a catalog of 241 criminal charges ranging from murder to extortion and kidnapping against the 50-year-old brigand, but forest officials say he is definitely on their side. He once beat up two forest guards he caught poaching and then wrote to complain about them under a letterhead describing himself as Bandit King Dadua. "We found the charges to be correct, and one of the officials even got suspended," Uttar Pradesh Chief Wildlife Warden R.L. Singh told Reuters. Inspector General of Police D.N. Samal said Dadua has been roaming the jungles of Uttar Pradesh and neighboring Madhya Pradesh state for about two decades, but police have failed to track him down despite several special operations and a price on his head of 200,000 rupees. Police said the lower caste outlaw had eluded them because of the thick forest cover and strong local support. And moving to Mexico, our Mexican colleagues Rodolfo Montiel and Teodora Cabrera were convicted recently of charges against them, including illegal possession of weapons and drug trafficking. The details of their convictions have not yet been made fully available, but reports from their attorneys indicate Montiel was convicted to serve 6 years and 8 months in prison, and Cabrera was convicted to serve a 10-year sentence. This is shocking news, especially in the light of all the international attention given to this case and of the countless letters written to the Mexican government in support of Montiel and Cabrera. It appears the judge involved in the case has chosen to ignore the powerful evidence that these two environmentalists were targeted unjustly for their efforts to protect their forests from excessive and probably illegal logging. Just 1 month ago, Mexico's National Commission on Human Rights, a governmental organization, acknowledged that Montiel and Cabrera had been illegally detained and tortured by members of the Mexican army. The report also rejected the allegation that the two men were carrying weapons at the time of their arrest. This information was made available to the judge. We will continue our work on behalf of Montiel and Cabrera until their conviction is overturned and they are released from prison. Please take this opportunity to write a letter to President-elect Vicente Fox, care of the Mexican embassy in your area, expressing your outrage at these convictions. Urge him to immediately pardon Montiel and Cabrera. Once he takes office in December, let him know that this ruling represents a black mark on Mexico's record for human rights, justice, and environmental protection. Here's the place to write. President-elect Vicente Fox, care of Ambassador Jesus Reyes Heroles, that's H-E-R-O-L-E-S, Embassy of Mexico, 1911 Pennsylvania Avenue, Northwest, Washington, D.C. Once again, that address, President-elect Vicente, V-I-C-E-N-T-E, Fox, care of Ambassador Jesus Reyes Heroles, H-E-R-O-L-E-S, Embassy of Mexico, 1911 Pennsylvania Avenue, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20006. If you want more information, you can contact Sam Perry. He's with the Sierra Club at 202-675-7907. That's 202-675-7907 or sam.perry@sierraclub.org. Again, that's sam.perry@sierraclub.org. Montiel, members of the organization of Campesino Environmentalists of the Sierra de Petalan, and Duca de Petalan was a recipient of the Golden Environmental Prize for his efforts to organize farmers to oppose rampantly illegal logging in the mountains of Guerrero, Mexico. On May 2nd, members of the 40th Infantry Battalion of the Mexican Army arrested Montiel and Cabrera. During that raid, soldiers shot and killed a local farmer, Salome Sanchez. In Boulder, Colorado, we read that the U.S. Department of Justice has dropped all criminal charges pending against environmental reporter Brian Hansen. Hansen, a reporter for the Boulder, Colorado-based Colorado Daily, was arrested on July 6th of last year while covering a protest at the Vail Ski Resort, located on lands leased from the U.S. in Colorado. Hansen was charged with refusing to leave an area that had been closed for reasons of public safety, a federal criminal misdemeanor. Hansen said he was just doing his job reporting the news. The federal government said Hansen was breaking the law by refusing to leave a federal closure area. Hansen's arrest received wide coverage as an example of the problems that journalists sometimes encounter in accessing sites of conflict between the government and the people. I think they just caved in because of the tremendous amount of bad publicity they were getting from having arrested a reporter who was on assignment covering a story that was embarrassing to them, Hansen told Environmental News Service. If he had been convicted, he would have faced a $5,000 fine and 6 months in jail. And in California, a legal defense fund is being formed for organizer Brian Vincent. He's an American Lands of California organizer facing a number of criminal charges, including conspiracy and timber theft for nonviolent activities he carried out to protest massive clear-cutting by Sierra Pacific Industries. If you'd like to help Brian get adequate legal counsel, please consider donating to his legal defense fund. Send your checks to Klamath Forest Alliance, attention Carol Wright, Brian Vincent's Legal Defense Fund, P.O. Box 820, Etna, California, 96027. Once again, that's Klamath Forest Alliance, attention Carol Wright, and Brian Vincent's Legal Defense Fund, P.O. Box 820, Etna, California, 96027. And Brian's done a lot of work out there in Sierra Nevada. Let's move to news from Southern California, August 26th. La Jolla, California. We are Los Niños del Maíz. That's the kids of the corn. Last night at the University of California at Diego, UCSD, we destroyed an acre of genetically mutilated maize, or corn, and entered and destroyed the contents of four greenhouses containing rice, maize, Arabidopsis, I don't know what that is, tomatoes, tobacco, and other mutilated genetically engineered life forms. We spray painted our messages in Spanish and English on the inside and outside of the glass greenhouses. We also ripped up and confused the paper bags that they were collecting ears of corn in the field. This mutant maize or corn is the creation of bioimperialist Robert Schmidt, who is using, quote, a combination of genetics, transposon mutagenesis, heterologous hybridization, and regenetics to identify and clone genes controlling floral morphosis in maize. UCSD has an APHIS permit number 99-043-03 for genetically mutilated corn. This permit is valid until 2003. UCSD is only 45 minutes from the Mexican border, so it shouldn't be too hard to understand why we targeted GE research on maize. Maize has played a major role in the development of pre-Hispanic cultures and is deeply immersed in the traditions of indigenous Mexican and American people. Maize was traditionally grown in Mexico by local farmers who knew that it yielded better, more reliable crops if beans and squash vines were interplanted with it. Only 20% of local maize varieties reported in Mexico in 1930 are still known due to genetic erosion caused by hybrid and genetically engineered replacements. Maize, the third most important food crop in terms of production, exemplifies the loss of biodiversity on the earth. Today, a measly 80 plant crops provide 90% of the world's food from plants, out of tens of thousands of significantly edible plants available. And biodiversity is up for sale. Private ownership violates the very nature of community rights, and in the case of genetic resources and genetic engineering, limits access to the collective heritage to only a few. These few bioimperialists are turning the earth into a monoculture, and plants are only part of their experiment. UCSD has a California Sea Grant that sponsors the genetic alteration of marine invertebrates to prevent diseases that attack commercial stocks of oysters, clam, mussels, and abalone. On and on and on. Los Niños del Maíz welcomes the Biotechnology Industry Organization when they come to San Diego in June of next year. Messages left on the greenhouses. Anarquia Verde. Well, we're going to take a little break here and listen to some poetry. This is called We've Always Had the Science on Our Side, and it's by Dennis Fritzinger.
We've always had the science on our side. That is a fact not easily denied. They can play their petty games and call us nasty names, but we've always had the science on our side. There's those of them who call our science junk, but let me tell you, that's a lot of bunk. Their argument's so weak, they have to scream, not speak, and we've always had the science on our side. There's other ones who call our science weird. They're the weird ones, and not to be feared, for in the light of day, they simply melt away, and we've always had the science on our side. We've always had the science on our side. That's the source of our power and our pride. For though the truth they flout, they cannot put it out, and we've always had the science on our side.
And Earth First Radio will be right back, so stand by.